Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on game modding. Rob R8XFT.
T Pangolin.
Jan Boruta.
Alpha Shard. You can hear the typing.
Yeah, I know. I'm all trying right. To get people to say stop.
That's a modder hard at work, that is.
Yeah. I'm just telling someone to stop talking to me since I'm on. Hey there, guys. My name is Jet, also known as T-Pangolin. Welcome back to our very first modcast of 2015. So in that case, welcome to 2015. And if you're listening from the future, welcome to the future. Please bring back your copies of the Beyond Earth expansion so that the game doesn't feel pseudo-empty. Joining us on the cast today are...
Jan Boruta.
Rob R8XFT.
Alpha Shard.
This is the episode number 54, first of the season, and the first in 2015, so cue all the Back to the Future jokes right now.
Yes.
Bum, bum, bum. Imagine where we're going to be in the future.
Future, guys.
It'd be funny, I think someone posted on it, if we get to the Roman numerals of CIV, would still be playing Civ.
It would be the year 104.
Yes, the 104th iteration of Civ would be called Civ Civ. Thanks, Roman numerals. You've done it again.
Previously on Modcast.
Yes.
In 2015, what happens to Modcast?
What happens to Modcast will blow your mind. 15 reasons why. Maybe that's why we're not getting many listeners, because we don't post clickbaity sort of titles. 5 reasons why Jan Boruta, the greatest artist ever.
I think the attitude of people using mods has changed, because certainly last year people liked to play with civs that would allow them to actually win the game, and I think they've got over that now and want to play civs that are competitive.
Yeah, initially when people start off, they say, what's a good civ to play? The first question I say, what civ should I play? What has good abilities? Because that'll help me win the game. But now they're at a proficient level. They want to have a challenge, so they'll do something that they usually haven't done, or do something where the abilities are nice. The abilities are great, but they're not as, you know, powerful as the top tier civ like Korea or Babylon.
Or even use now those civs to play again, so it gives them a bit of a challenge. Those
yes, exactly. Yeah,
I think YouTube has a big part in it, because, for example, the people like Marbozier and Linus Place, there was a guy who also played modded civs, they present them in a very good light, and they don't pick those overpowered ones, just the most interesting ones, I think. I watched Marbozier's a couple recordings on Twitch, like those 5-hour recorded live streams, when he plays as all the various Polynesian civs. Or as Prussia, which wasn't on YouTube.
Did he play as the Polynesian civs? Oh,
yes.
I'll take a look at that.
I think those YouTubers are doing a good job in changing people's minds about how modding for Civilization V is now.
I really loved his series on Hungary. Within the modding community, everyone's like, wow, he's playing a fully modded civ, but then halfway through you can see all the bugs starting to form and the cracks starting to appear. Yeah. So you're just like, yeah, this is good, but also bad. Like, JFD loved it, the fact that he was playing Hungary, but hated the fact that he was playing it wrong.
Well, because Marbozier is highly competitive, and he has kind of rails when he plays on Deity. Well, there have to be some rails when you are playing
on Deity. It's turtle up and then declare war as soon as you get artillery.
Yeah. But he uses the unique abilities nonetheless.
Yeah.
There's this guy who does those short films, like 3 and 5 minutes when he plays Civs, short recaps.
Yep, Soup Juice.
Yeah.
He does some great playthroughs of not just the Firaxis Civs, but he takes screenshots of his playthrough and he gives you a recap within, 3 to 4 minutes. And he's done lots of modded Civs, and it's great. It's good for the modding community. And we kind of need more of that if we want people to play the mods.
Yeah, because, for example, when you look for, like, Skyrim playthroughs or Let's Plays, they are all heavily modded. Nowadays, you can't play Skyrim clean. It's bad. from my experience.
In preparation for this thing, this was going to be something that I brought up, but I completely forgot. In preparation for this, I set up a game where I just had no mods. So I played Civilization V completely clean with just Brave New World and Gods and Kings and all the DLC, but just with no mods. Because I use, now I counted, I used 200 mods, primarily modded Civs. And I just felt dirty. It just felt bizarre that I was playing this game that it was clean, but it was just very sterile, and it didn't have the dynamism that a lot of mods add. It was kind of like, you know, you walk into a hospital, everything's white and sterile. That was like walking into unmodded civilization. Just like, man, I'm just missing out on so much.
That's exactly my feeling. Glad we agree. There was a drama in the third unique component development thread. Someone was concerned with somebody else's code that they would dissect a unit, for example, and make it a new unique unit, and whether, according to the mod etiquette, the original mod author loses all the rights to the code when they post it to Civ Fanatics. So, like, you post it and you don't own it anywhere for any time whatsoever.
Yeah, is that part of the reason that JFT uploads all of his to Dropbox instead of Civ Fanatics?
Yeah. Yes, okay. Yes, because he didn't want to be under the mod etiquette, but it, of course, doesn't apply because he still posts links on Civ Fanatics.
So the mod etiquette still applies because he posts links to them as opposed to being uploaded to Civ Fanatics himself.
Regardless of the mod etiquette, anything apparently is the ownership of 2K Games when we've uploaded it.
Yes.
Regardless of if it's on Civ Fanatics, Dropbox, anything, allegedly.
Yeah, well, this is silly because as a graphic artist, I don't lose my author's rights forever.
Mm.
So I still am and should be credited as the original author of everything, even though the 2K law and the agreement, anything related to it, says that it's all their property now.
Mm.
It is still technically my property as an artist, and I can sell it further, for example, if I wish to, and it's none of 2K's business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
When I've been putting things in Anno Domini, I've used a lot of the particularly Lua code. I'm not really very good at coding in Lua, but I can work out what to do if somebody else has coded something just to amend it.
Mm.
But I'll always leave in the lines in the top and just said adapted from Luigi's whatever or Secretat's whatever, so that they still get that credit in there.
Yeah, and it's, by me, it's really fair, because you can't always rely on another person's agreement, because, for example, they are inactive, and they are nowhere to be reached, so it would be silly to wait for ages before they agree, and it's the same, for example, with my artwork. I can't track down every instance of someone using my artwork and, for example, trying to block it, because I don't like it. So permission to use is granted, but it's always nice to ask, for example.
I had a similar thing with this, going back to Civ 3. Firaxis actually contacted me and said they wanted Anno Domini to be part of the Civ 3 Complete, but they wanted me to sign some sort of waiver that any art at all had used in their account for the copyright for.
Mm.
And I said I just couldn't do that because there was just that much art they'd taken from all these other mods. I couldn't track down all of that.
Yeah.
So that's why Anno Domini didn't become part of it. But then other mods, such as Real Earth Thing, where all the Civs come in when they would historically have started.
Yeah.
That includes some of my art. And I was never asked for that. And I don't mind because it means that at least my art got on all the Civ 3 Completes.
Yeah.
Fussed in that way, but I can imagine other people might be.
Mm, especially people who are more attached to the work that they've done and feel that they deserve their own credit. There's no problem with that, but that's just people's mindsets are at different places.
Sometimes, with the best will in the world, you can forget to credit somebody.
Yeah.
Or not realise that they were the original artist, and then people start to have an outcry.
You're not doing it out of maliciousness.
Yeah, absolutely not. It is just an accident, you know, it's just one of those things, isn't it? And I do try to keep a log and update the website the moment I put something new in where I've not credited somebody. But, you know, there are occasions when we're all human, it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, how we like to say that we ask other people for their art, and we do, but then the whole topic of music comes up, because we uploaded things, and everything is owned by 2K Games, but then we use so many movie soundtracks, video game soundtracks. It's funny how we adhere to code within our community and other people's art within the community, but then a lot of assets, in my mods especially, have been used from other games or movies and stuff like that. It's definitely a sticky topic. I know that monetization's never going to be a thing, so we can kind of get around it.
For example, there are a couple mods for Rome 2 on Steam Workshop that are total conventions of the soundtrack from also every movie, every game imaginable, and they are not taken down, even though, for example, on Civilization's Steam Workshop, the Warcraft mod was taken down for using assets from another game.
Blizzard specifically. Blizzard actually took action against that. I reckon the reason that it got so much publicity is because it was posted on mainstream journalism articles, gaming journalism. There was an artist that said, hey, that's my art. I don't remember being asked for that. And a whole bunch of other stuff. And then Blizzard saw that and then they just made them take it down. But for some reason, it's still available on Civ Fanatics.
It's always the case that it's kind of fair to use until someone notices. It's, for example, the case with myself, because I don't care if my art is used in another mod without my permission. And I'm usually okay when I see it because, well, it's out of my control when I post it to the internet. Unless, for example, I wouldn't like the place where it's published, I would take action then. But if I don't know about it beforehand, how can I be against it?
I think if it's not monetized, I think it's all right to credit, because a lot of the times it is hard to ask other people for permission. It's nice, but it's definitely in the case of music. I don't know anybody who's asked other people, hey, can I use your music? I don't think necessarily that they should have to, because we're not monetizing it. I think it would be very unethical if we were to monetize something and use other people's stuff. If I was to say monetize some of my mods, that was a potential thing 3-4 years down the line. If Firaxis really wants people to start monetizing their things, you'd definitely have to make sure that there would be no copyrighted, because otherwise you're going to have a bad time. And just like unethically, it feels terrible.
As well, it depends on what you want from your mods. If you just want them out there for people to play, then what's the point of having all that potential crap? And that's what I thought when I was approached about the Civ 3 version of Anno Domini. And I remember, again, going back to Civ 3, I approached Sierra, who created Cleopatra and Pharaoh. So I did an Egyptian mod. I wanted their music, but they said no. But at least I asked.
We're in need of 3D modelers and stuff like that, and we've pretty much had that answer. There's been a lot more 3D modelers that have arrived on the scene in the past couple of months. It'd be interesting if composers started coming, because I know there's so many composers out there on the internet create custom stuff for Civ. And I think I remember Project Alpha's Suma, they had a custom composition for their mod.
The thing I don't always get about music, and to some extent some of the art as well, is that a lot of the art or music seems to be freely available on the internet. So if it's in the mod, so what? Almost. It's like, well, it's not as if they've got to pay for it to listen to that track if somebody did want to listen. It's on the internet. It's available. It's free. So what's the harm of it? That's the argument. Just on a very basic level, using Pharaoh as an example, I could go on a Pharaoh website and see a picture of a Pharaoh, right? And it wouldn't cost me a penny. So why couldn't I just copy and paste that into a mod and use that as my leader screen, then there's a problem. Even if I'm saying, this is Pharaoh, this is from Sierra's.
Yeah.
Recorded for episode 48 with Gilded Duke, Anvil, Framed Architect, and Thalassicus.
I find that in the unmodded Brave New World, our productive capacity is sort of low before we get many trade routes set up because there's no longer gold on terrain. And so it can go really slowly compared to G&K or vanilla. So I sped that up a little bit by adding some extra sources of gold. But mostly I'm focusing on simple things like that that just tweak the gameplay a little so that it's fun to play while giving me time to get to the more complex and hard interface changes that come later. Now, for the gameplay part of the mod, the part that I consider an expansion pack, it focuses on a couple things. One, strategic resource units and armies. I think that the most fun way to have an army is instead of building an army of 20 archers and a couple melee units or just massing swordsmen or spamming a whole bunch of some particular type of unit, whichever one we think happens to be the best, or maybe two units. I like having a mixed army so that I have a couple range, a couple melee, a couple strategic units, a couple horses, some spearmen, some catapult, and some healing units, some scouts. So, you know, a whole bunch of everything. Creating an army balance so that we want to and are rewarded for using combined arms in an interesting and complex way, and also getting the AI to use it decently. And the other part that I focus on for gameplay is balancing things. For example, in the unmodded game right now, in Brave New World, the caravansary is sort of questionable in value. I mean, you might build one if you have a lot of caravans, but the sea trade routes give you twice the gold, and harbors don't really come that much later than caravans, and the caravansary doesn't really have much other value. Markets are also much less valuable now that there is no terrain gold. So I take buildings like that that we really would ignore in the vast majority of our cities and give them other bonuses. Like I made the caravansary in the current version of the Communitas expansion pack. It also improves some exotic food resources like bananas and salt and some others get a little bonus if you have a caravansary nearby. So it's actually beneficial to build those in cities where there's a big cluster of those resources. I focus a lot on the one side on the unofficial patch, tools, and adding extra information to the interface. And then with the main part of the expansion pack, I like making the game more fun and balanced so that you have a reason to try everything. All the leaders are fun, and all the buildings are interesting to some extent, and we want to build a couple of each unit and so on. Because then that makes the game more complex. It makes it more like Go or chess. And that balance gives it long-term replayability so that we can have fun over and over again because we keep on discovering new strategies. And we don't just get stuck on one strategy that we do every time.
You've also made some small changes. I don't know how simple they were to actually do that I really think are great and appreciate. One of them, for example, is that you changed it so great people will connect any resource if you plant them, so to speak, on one.
If you want to put a great person wherever, because it's a great person, they're great. They should be able to do things that ordinary workers can't. It's really convenient to be able to say, if you want to drop a citadel on this particular tile, but, oh, it has a sheep there, so I can't put it there. Or if I do, or it has a lug tree, so I can't put it there because it doesn't connect it. So all I do is I just make the great person improvements connect any resource you put them on. It's just a small convenience thing, but I think it makes great person improvements a little more fun to work with.
I agree. It's one of my favorite features.
Personally love the random events.
One seems to be very polarizing. People love it. Yeah, some people love it, and some people are like, why is this in the game? For anyone who hasn't played the mod, opportunities are sort of like events from Civilization 4.
Beyond the Sword brought that.
It's an idea that Firaxis had already thought of, and I just took it and I've been expanding on it. The concept is there's been points in history where some big change happened, like a social upheaval or something, or some big event like civil rights in the United States or the independence movement in India. These events in history give our society opportunities to change or reform or choose what path we're going to take. If you have a society that's more autocratic, for example, if you have natural wonders, it's like the Beringer Crater. So if you have that in your territory, it gets sort of useless in the late game. I mean, the bonuses are pretty good in the early game, but by the time you get to late game, they're pretty minor compared to other terrain bonuses you can get. So you might at some point randomly get an opportunity saying, hey, people want to make this natural wonder more developed. So what do you want to do with it? Do you want to turn it into a national park and give it extra culture? Or do you want to privatize it and like let rich people go and create mansions there and that might give it extra gold? So you have an opportunity that comes along and your society can choose to pass.
See, it's not the game so much as affected. It's the narrative. As an English major, I appreciate that. I like stories. And most of these events tell a story in a way.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it adds so much to the game for me. And I can't tell you, Thal, people have commented on my items telling me that they want me to do that. They want me to make what you've already made. And I say, that's already out there. You should just download Thal.
Well, you're always welcome. And I say this to anyone out there. If there's something in this project that you find interesting and you want to expand on it in your own project, please go on ahead and take it because Civilization modding community is a really collaborative effort. I learn from other people. Other people learn from me. It all goes around. It's interesting that you mentioned narrative. I don't know if you played Alpha Centauri.
Yes. Alpha Centauri is a wonderful thing.
One of my favorite features about Alpha Centauri is that it had a narrative. You had characters, rather interesting characters, and you learned things about them in the quotes and the movies and other things in the game. And it had this progress. It started off with a bunch of humanity just landing on this alien planet, and it ended with learning that the planet was actually an independent consciousness that was waking up, and humanity trying to figure out their place in this new world. And I loved that narrative. And that is something I tried to do with the opportunities. Like one of them, this mine wants to expand, but the working conditions are unsafe. So do you improve working conditions for the workers, or do you hire strike breakers to just force the expansion through regardless of what the workers want? And societies in history have chosen one approach sometimes, the other one another time. And so it gives you a moral dilemma about what to do.
Role-playing.
Yeah, it is sort of like role-playing. I actually took this from a role-playing game. There's always a third option, too. Let someone else figure it out. Like, yeah. I don't want to be bothered with this right now. Let the local government deal with it. And so that option has lower costs because you don't have your centralized government getting involved, but it also has lower rewards.
I would swear that you, if I didn't know better, that you had coded it in there somewhere so that just after I spend my gold on something, that pops up.
No, I set it up so that you will always get one every, say, 15 turns. Now, when during those 15 turns you get it is random, but you always get one every 15 turns. So pretty much the way to plan for it is if opportunities cost, say, 100 gold, just keep 100 gold reserve ready. And that also creates another interesting decision. Okay, I know I might get an opportunity, but I really, really want to spend this gold now. So do I spend it and then possibly miss out on an opportunity, or do I keep it stored?
Now, one interesting thing that this actually ties into, I was listening to the Polycast live recording, and they were actually talking to some of the designers from Civ 5. They actually had specific reasons for not including random events. I guess their worry was that, and I'm paraphrasing here, either on one hand, events repeated a lot, or to get enough events that people didn't just repeat the same events over and over again, it just took a lot of effort away from something else. Do you have an answer to those concerns?
Well, the way to do it really is to standardize it. You create a standard set of opportunity handling code so that it's very easy to create new events with just some simple XML, because the opportunities themselves basically look for a condition, like you have a mine or you have this unit, and then say, okay, what can I do with that unit? And then it pops up with a box that's just some text.
Mm-hmm.
And then it runs a little bit of code to have some outcome. They don't have to be complicated. It can be very simple. Events in Civilization IV had a lot more varied outcomes, mm-hmm. but you don't have to make it as complex as it was in Civ 4.
My response to that would be that they can really make that argument when they have about 100 more different possible ways of dealing with city-states, you know, instead of four.
Right.
Yeah.
Favorite thing overall about your mod is the fast unit move. That is amazing.
I made the animation play faster.
Because I turn it off, but then you can't see where things are coming from sometimes.
Yeah. When you actually have normal unit animations going, some things move really slowly, like aircraft. Aircraft is like, it just takes its time out to the city, circles, circles again, and then sort of lazily wanders back. And if you got to attack with 30 planes, that takes a really long time.
Yeah, same time, if you turn it off, then you don't see what city the planes are coming from.
Right.
I remember going up against a battle with Japan at one point, and they had aircraft carriers and planes, you know, out the wazoo, and it was just such a nightmare because it took forever.
I don't know why they set up the animation to play so slowly.
Savor the B-12 bombers.
You will enjoy this animation. I spent a lot of time working on it, and I'm going to make sure everybody sees it.
That's one thing I do miss from Civ 4 is the quick move actually played a little like whoosh trail, visual trail, so that you could see where the unit moved. Right. Mm. And it actually just made the unit physically move faster. It just didn't teleport. It didn't just blink to its destination. It just moved faster. So it fixed that problem of telling where it's coming from while also speeding up the game.
Right.
It would be nice if they had some compromise where you could get the data you wanted in combat, like whether they had a combat log or whether they had maybe something that when you went into combat, it dropped the speed down a little, but it was still faster, you know. But right now, the way it works, if you get into combat sometimes, you don't even know how you died.
One really easy way to solve the whole quick movement thing, I think, would be when I am attacking or it's my turn, make everything move fast. But when someone is attacking me, slow it down so I can see what's going on.
Right.
So yeah, that combination.
Usually it's them attacking each other, and it's like, well, I don't care a huge amount.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I hate it when two civs are at war and I just happen to have like a scout or a ship passing by and I have to sit there for 5 minutes and watch them attack each other.
Exactly. The only time when it's important is when someone is attacking us. That's when we want to be able to tell.
I'm glad they're attacking each other. Yeah. I'm all for them fighting each other and not me. I don't need to see it all.
When developing a game or mod or anything, it's always going to be a trade-off. Do I want to do this or do I want to do this? You only have limited time, so you have to choose.
Right.
But I'd say that, like Frame said, one really important thing that you can add to a game like Civilization is it normally feels somewhat detached, like you're not really involved, there's not really a story going on. And games where you can create your own story are incredibly popular. I mean, you look at Skyrim, where you can choose where you want to go, or Minecraft.
Right.
Or The Sims, which has sold boatloads of expansion packs. And it's because...
I know too well.
It gives you a sandbox where you can create your own story. And that was something that I really liked about Alpha Centauri. And it's something I like and why I add opportunities into this game. I actually got part of the idea from BioWare's role-playing games like Knights of the Old Republic or Mass Effect, where you get a dialogue choice and you can choose the lawful option or the renegade option. And that sort of moral choice is what I tried to bring into Civilization a little bit. It's sort of hard to do because Civilization isn't obviously a role-playing game, doesn't really have story, but you can add
it's
little...
Been done. I think it's an admirable goal. One thing that actually comes to mind with the whole, choices. Have you ever played Faster Than Light?
I've heard of that. I thought of getting it when there was on sale.
Oh, it's good.
I just don't have the time.
Right, yeah. With Civ, who can play other games? But I guess the reason I bring it up is it also has random events come up. However, the way it does it, there's usually like two main choices, which could both have a chance of going badly. And then sometimes a blue choice comes up. If you have a certain crew member or a certain piece of equipment, you get a blue choice, which is basically always good. So like, I guess the Civilization idea, like let's say there's, I don't know, riots or something. Like you could spend gold to appease the concerns or, you know, military crackdown that might lose population, but might stop it. Or, you know, if you have a police station, you might, you know, try to have the police deal with it and you have that be a blue choice, you know, as a possibility. Check to see if it has building or policy or so on.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do that in the code.
One of the things that I've had in mind is kind of a mod, and I just didn't know, it's on my list, is I've really been interested in taking these random events. The piece that I always think is missing from that they had in Beyond the Sword were quests, were to say things like, found a city by a mountain, you know, that kind of thing.
A quest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too hard. The opportunity system I made has a way to check for terrain. So if you're next to terrain, it could say, okay, now you should found there. The one difficulty with that is that if you want to try and do any sort of timed anything, like do this within 20 turns or a bonus that lasts for 20 turns, you have to have a timer that keeps track of when things should end, which requires saving things into the save file. And I don't think that there's actually a library to do timed stuff that's available to us in Lua. That's why I've never done a timed anything.
Hmm.
You could create your own. It wouldn't be too hard. It's just, another thing to do.
I have tons of timers in my mods because they're very useful, like you said, Thal, but there's no like basic, just simple way to do it.
Yeah. To do it right, you'd want to create a timer object. I mean, we don't really have objects in Lua, but some sort of a timer and then like a start timer, stop timer functions.
Ideally, you'd have a library where someone could call a function to set what they wanted in terms of how many turns or whatnot. When that point was reached, it would fire a Lua event.
Yeah. So you've got timers in your stuff framed?
Yeah, I have a lot of timers and for various things.
How did you set those up?
I use Firaxis set persistent properties and get persistent properties, little thing that they used in one of their early scenarios.
Ah.
It opens the save data, open modding save data.
Right, because you do have to store it somewhere.
They had a real localized way of doing that that's much faster than just opening modding save data every single time you want to save some information. Yeah. So, you know, say a certain event is triggered, just say the end timer, or usually I just count down from a certain number of turns, and then that will persist between games so that when we hit zero or whatever, we can have another event happen.
The 2014 Modcast poll result.
The types of segments that we have in Modcast.
Highlight what we should focus on.
Votes cast for an assortment of those segments. Those are modding spotlight, a review of a single mod or modder, artist sketchpad about art from the community, cartography room looking at maps and map scripts or simple scenarios, mailbag addresses to listener feedback, and news development affecting Civ modding, and a miscellaneous talk, which we do like every time and all the time.
The modding spotlight, that's the most popular one for sure.
The most votes, 90%, like we're inviting people and talking about modding experiences. So this is a good sign. We can keep doing what we do and not bother at all.
If anything, because it was the most respondent of all of them, I think it would be a good idea if we kind of take that into account and use that to our advantage so we can talk about particular mods and give them a fair, balanced review and talk about, instead of just, you know, endlessly praising them and patting each other on the back, because that's something we like to do within the community, give people constructive criticism on how they could improve, talk more about that and get away with it because people want to hear Modding Spotlight.
Yeah, exactly. I think we can be a bit more to the point about those mods instead of rambling all the time, although we will ramble all the time anyway.
Mm. Welcome to Rambling Cast 2015.
So the second choice with 7 votes was Artist Sketchpad. This might be about art, but talking about artwork is a bit hard without images. It might be a bit easier if you had webcams or something like that. So we would be like the co-optional podcast, the electric
video. Oh, right, yeah.
Although there are some topics we can discuss within that. So, for example, one of the things that was really important in the old Civ 3 days with leader heads was that the leader actually faced outwards towards the player. And that doesn't always happen in Civ 5. So, you know, it's those sort of things maybe we could discuss.
Yeah, definitely. I notice a lot of my leader heads do that, but only because I'm not a talented Photoshop artist. So if I do try to make their eyes to look like they are looking at the camera, it kind of looks creepy because they're facing one way and the eyes are looking another way. So that's also a bit, it's a bit spooky. But we have covered some art topics previously when we talked about the Champa and how the background art sometimes isn't from those locations, but we make sure it looks like it is to create the theme of the overarching Civ.
We could actually build into that, really, that section. There's a lot more model makers now.
I remember on one of our earlier casts, we were discussing how there's not a lot of competition or even population for 3D modders. And since those, not because of us, there has been a sudden influx of people who are doing lots of 3D art and get content out faster.
Yeah, but there are a few people that do Civilization 4 unit conversions for Civ 5.
Yes,
so it's been a lot done already. Yes, so we have a fair share of people who could be invited, or we could talk about them. Next up is Cartography Room with 5 votes, so a half. We didn't do much discussion about maps. I think only communities map. Next up is Mailbag, addresses listener feedback.
I don't remember us doing any mailbag.
Well, no, the question is, could have been. So one of these topics could be in the show.
It says check all that you feel should be used in 2015.
If we had a lot of listener feedback, it would be much easier.
We do talk about some of the comments. I think we discussed JFD's. I can't remember what exactly was said, but we got him on the cast and we're talking about previous comments. But I guess we could do more feedback.
Points to note for the future. Next up after mailbag is news, developments affecting Civ modding. We could cover some of this. There were a few live streams of Firaxis showing by the basics of modding for Beyond Earth. That could be a topic also for the future, or the mods of the week kind of thing, but there are happening other in a big quantity that would relate to that.
There's also little stuff within the modding community. The advent of all those new lure hooks and events that Huokai posted that went unannounced in the recent patch.
Oh, yes.
That allows us to do a lot more things.
I guess a lot of the news as well will fall into the categories anyway, won't it? So.
Miscellaneous, that which does not fall into any of the other categories, which is essentially 90% of the cast already. Us going off on miscellaneous tangents and remembering certain things that aren't particularly related to the mod, 30% said miscellaneous stuff.
So the next section then, how do you rate Modcast on passion?
Apparently, 2 people said that we're only being just good in terms of our passion and enthusiasm.
Didn't get a bad response there.
But we were above average. That's good.
That's good. That's good. That was good, very good, excellent, superb, and perfect. So, did you vote us saying mediocre?
I think I voted like I felt at the moment, and it was, I think, good.
Well, I guess we don't want to be too passionate. If we're always too passionate, it kind of seems like we're being disingenuous and pandering towards certain types of people. So it's good to be, you know, to the point and sometimes not sounding like you have too much passion behind your voice.
But I think we all sound like we enjoy being here and doing the modcast, and that comes through, I think.
Well, I only hope it gets better, that we are not dragged down by petty things in terms of passion.
And one person said that we were mediocre in connecting with the audience.
Yeah, how do you rate my modcast and dialogue? Someone said perfect. A fair few amount of people said superb. Same results for excellent and very good at both 2 results, and also mediocre. I wonder who put that one in there.
I did. Oh, yeah. I said that.
Oh, did you?
Why do you think we are mediocre in terms of connecting with the show's audience? The massive audience that we do have.
It's all about what you said about pandering and talking about the same, let's say, clique of people. That was my point. So I think we could be a bit more open about these things and move on with our lives.
Definitely. Just on a side note, I love the motive language that Dan used for this poll, which was perfect, superb, excellent, very good, good, average, mediocre, poor, terrible, and atrocious.
The atrocious is brilliant down there.
I love that. I mean, if someone would say atrocious, I just props for saying it, because that's just a beautiful word.
All right, so next up. The question was, a mixed coverage of Civilization V and Civilization Beyond Earth is an ongoing effort in Modcast. In order of preference, what do you feel that balance should be in 2015?
The landslide of votes to do Civ 5 modding versus Beyond Earth modding.
Two people said Civilization Beyond Earth and 8 voted for Civilization V. So I guess that the listener base is still based around Civ 5 because it's always posted in the Civ 5 creation customization subforum.
And don't forget that this particular survey went out not long after Beyond Earth had actually been come out, so I don't know what effect that would have had.
Yeah.
I would have thought people would be probably more keen on Beyond Earth at that point.
You know, I think Beyond Earth needs more mods than Survive.
It's interesting that it's a landslide because there's only 10.
Yeah, but I mean, 8 out of 10 is quite a margin, even with just 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me, I mean, I must admit, although bought Beyond Earth, I've hardly played it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And I think people have played it, had that game now, and coming back to Civ 5.
I feel like I don't have a passion to mod it. That's now my obligation. Because I said that I'll do things, and I kind of like making word on what I do.
Well, I've played like 50 hours of Beyond Earth, but then got back to Civ 5. 1,936 hours in Civ 5, so.
1,200, but I had a couple of number, 100. Dark time when I didn't have any internet.
I think I have 1,100 in Civ 5, but then Civ 4 is probably a lot more, and Civ 2 I know is, good lord, I don't even, like, maybe 2,000 hours.
Yeah, I only have 30 hours in Beyond Earth, that's,
Yeah, well, it isn't a bad game, but I find Civ 5 more compelling at this point.
Oh, definitely. There's
more stuff in it already, yeah.
I think for me, because I'm stuck in the ancient world, it's more appealing to me.
Yeah, yeah, and because of all the modding we do, and I'm more interested in historical settings, so I stick to Civ 5.
I thought it would be definitely my ball game, because you guys are in the historical setting and the ancient world setting, but I'm in the colonial setting, and what is this thing, what is this whole game about colonization? But even I was just like, yeah, nah, after a while. Because it has so much potential, but at least people are optimistic about its future. There's also mods that I've seen in Beyond Earth that have been initiative-wise and concept-wise have been great that I would love to see in Civ 5. Instead of us porting mods over like ocean cities from Civ 5 into Beyond Earth, it'd be great to do it the other way around. I've actually been seeing a lot of people who I've never seen before on the modding side of things in Civ 5 work on Civ Beyond Earth. Shout out to Little Game Freak and Wake Up Mr. Bubbles. So it's not to say that modders don't exist over there, exclusively over there, like we exist kind of exclusively for Civ 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for example, Howard, the modding god, or W. Howard, giant library of pick and mix mods for Civ 5, but he also started doing those for Civ Beyond Earth.
I mean, there's bound to be some sort of compatibility anyway, isn't there? So...
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And should we go on the whole regular co-host thing?
Well, we know that happened, and Yang got 4 votes.
Only because he created 4 accounts.
Well, maybe there is something to do with that, but, you know.
Do you vote for yourself in, like, your favourite co-host or something?
No, I didn't vote on that, I think.
No, I voted for Yang. Question 5. Below are those who served as Modcast regular co-hosts during 2014. Who is your favourite? Obviously, there's Rob, me, Yan, and Scott, Alpha Shard. Rob and myself both got 3, and Yan got 4.
I don't know what happened.
You don't know what happened? I'm extremely just angry that the situation hasn't even come into effect. If people can't tell, I'm being entirely facetious, and I couldn't care less.
Must be that people are thinking about the fact that we're always around on the forum as well. That must be it. I think what is good about the Modcast general panel is that we're quite diverse in a sense, aren't we?
Yep.
We're all from different countries for starters.
But even in terms of like personality, Jan's primarily an artist, I'm primarily someone who doesn't code, and you are primarily someone who does.
And Scott represents people who like to play mods.
Yep, definitely.
Certainly got a bit of a mixture there. call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at thepolycast@gmail.com. For more information on Modcast, our sibling shows Polycast, Revcast, Civcast and Turncast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
First did my Australia mod, there was a lot of things that were wrong with it, but I was so defensive about it until I realized that people weren't exactly criticizing. Well, they were criticizing, but they were doing it very constructively. So I kind of had to take steps back. And
yeah, I mean, I find the same with Anno Domini as well, because I think when you play your own mods, you still seem to be trapped into one style of playing,
yeah.
And then other people actually play it in their way and find a different experience to what you had.
Yeah, exactly.
All of the dialogue in the Australia Civ, the vocals have turned into spin-offs of lines from Land Down Under. So if you'll be trading with, let me know if I'm able to tempt you. like in the line, I said to the man, you're trying to tempt me.
Because I come from the land of plenty.
Yeah. When he declares war, it's either you and your fiefdom have been riding high for too long, by my oath we shall have war. Or he also can say, you better run, you better take cover.
Very good.
You know how hard it is to find an orchestral version of that song? Otherwise that would totally be the piece theme. I just can't find one.
Why don't you look for karaoke version?
Oh, yeah, that would work.
I've searched for hours. I don't know why I've dedicated so much of my life looking for orchestral or karaoke versions of Land Down Under, but they just sound too modern. But I do like how Jan added the 8-bit version of Land Down Under for my piece theme in World According to Modders.
It just sounded cool, and I was all hyped about this song.
I was discussing this with Framed Architecture, how this corner of the internet's a very niche corner. If anything, we're a part of an insular community because we like to promote ourselves within the community, but nobody really takes steps to promote their mods to a wider audience. So I'm hoping once, I don't know, Australia gets released with the voice and everything, that if there does get some coverage, that means they'll bring more people into Civ. And it's kind of my hope that more people will start wanting to do 3D leader screens or just want to start getting into the modding scene in general, because it's kind of how far we've come at this point.
Well, knowing internet, I think it will generate a lot of buzz, for example, on YouTube with a few playthroughs that will appear with New Australia or against New Australia to showcase the leader scene.
Yeah.
But I don't think it will have much impact on modding. It's quite a hermetic structure right now, and not many people join it, even if official Firaxis mods of the week appear for Beyond Earth or something like that. I didn't see an influx of people recently as big as it was like around Brave New World, for example.
Not even that. I'm just basically talking about regular coverage of Civ 5 mods, which I think it has potential, but since we are such an insular community, there's nobody really takes those steps to say, hey, do you guys want to do a feature on these? I reckon if people started, or some select people started to take steps outside the community and promote mods outside the community that we're in, then it definitely wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, this ties to the survey that was held on Reddit that asked people a very statistic about their Civ play. And there was a question about if they play with mods. 1/3 of people didn't play with any mods. 50% of people who chose none and then another type of mod.
There's a constant stream of people who just want to get into mods, but they just don't know the right avenues. Not in terms of, oh, hi, I want to make a new mod. There's plenty of those people, but there's people who just want to start to get into mods. People come onto the Reddit and they say, hey, can anybody recommend me some good mods that you enjoy playing? And that's pretty much every day, 2 or 3 of those threads every day. So I think definitely there's a lot of people wanting to get in, but people just don't know how to get into the scene because everything's just kind of overwhelming. So there kind of needs to be something to bridge the gap, which is something I'm trying to do with the mod of the week. But
if you ask for mods on Reddit, you eventually get redirected to Civ Fanatics because it's the main hub of everything related to Civ. So I see Reddit as an auxiliary force.
When you compare some of the other things out there at the minute, there's places that are better for information, there's places that are better for getting some new mods advertised,
yeah.
But there's nowhere quite as good as Civ Fanatics for actual modding discussion.
Yeah.
So, where to from here?
Well, I guess if we're done, we can do a closing.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, man. Some stuff I got to do in the morning.
I've got stuff to do in the evening.
Yeah, same here.
I got stuff to do right now. Exactly. So, closing now. This has been episode
54.
This has been Alpha Shard, Jeticus, Rob, and
Jan Borota.
Jan Borota.
It's not Jan.
Jan Borota.
No, shut up, you vile creature.
How is everyone?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Pretty fine.
Pretty fine.
Oh, I'm getting I was getting some feedback. But it's gone now, okay.
I'm sure it'd be positive feedback.
As always.
I think my favourite line was, oh, shit, just put some water in my mouth, down my lungs. Got last time we were talking about fantasy in Civ 5, fantasy sort of expansion, because I can definitely see Civ 5 going down a route of fantasy thing, just like they did with sci-fi.
You know, Civ 5 going down a route of fantasy
Hello?
Just like they did with sci-fi.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just checking if this is recording.
Oh, cool.
Hey, guys. Oh, I've been recording since we started.
Oh,
yeah,
really? I'm just talking nonsense.
I recorded it all for Dan.
Oh, no. But what time do you have to leave so we can...
I already did, I'm back.
Oh, you did? Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's just an idea. If not, we can move on to the...
Yes. Yeah. Oh, was that the Doctor Who theme song?
Yes, it was my ringtone, I'm sorry.
That's a special event in Decisions and Events. The Doctor will appear if you're a colonial civilization.
Yeah.
So we'll just have it on the podcast.
Couldn't really change that because this is all graphics engine stuff. And the graphics engine is basically inaccessible to us.
Yeah, we don't have that DLL.
Yeah. Well, because they gotta be able to make money off of something, and if they gave us everything...
Who knows what we would come up with?
The very first thing that we could mod in the Civilization series, Civilization 2, you had these text files, and you could adjust gameplay.
Oh, yes, I love those things.
By changing those text files is really simple and easy. It's a great way to get started with modding, and that might be why they have a tradition of gameplay moddability. It is unfortunate that tourism is so hard-coded. Makes it sort of difficult to work with.
Yeah.
But I haven't looked at trade much. How's that? Is it easy to modify?
I don't think so. But I don't think anything's easy to modify.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Oh, right, okay.
All right, so we've got the topic covered. Now, let's move on.
They're good clips for Dan to use, but he's just going to be listening to this and just like, just get to the point, guys, come on. We'll just edit all our tangents to the end.
Oh, what are we even talking about right now?
Record date
January 17th, 2015.
Civilization 4 and 5 sound clips. Copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.